good to be here with you this evening. What a joy and an honor to be back here at Landmark, and get excited about every time we get to come back. We don't get to come very often. I think it's probably been 16 or 17 months or so since we've been back here, and got to come back for Christmas time and got to spend a little time with some dear friends of ours, and what a joy it is. We are missionaries on our way to Santiago, Chile, South America. And Lord willing, we leave in 75 days. Praise the Lord. We already have our tickets and trying to finish up our little bit of support and get moved down there. It's a chore to move to the other side of the planet. I'm telling you, it is. You've ever moved from one state to the other state and all the headache that goes involved and the finances, to say the least, try to move to the other side of the planet. And it's a chore. But God has been, He's been so good to us, and we are excited. We can't wait to get down there and get going. What a blessing. And we're honored that this is our home church. This is our sending church. Everywhere I go, I've probably preached in 170 churches in the past 2 years. Everywhere that I go, folks know Dr. Mickey Carter. And boy, they highly respect him. And it's a joy and it's an honor for me to say that's my pastor, and we're out of that. That's our sending church. We're out of that church. And it's a joy to be back here this evening. What an honor to preach to you. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts and chapter 16, Acts chapter 16. Now we're approaching the new year, and it's that time of the year that we begin to stay up to the midnight hour, as it were, and bring in the new year. No doubt many of you, most of you, will be here for watch night service. I hope you are. And with that thought, I'm going to bring a message to you tonight. Acts chapter 16. I'll just read a few verses here to kind of give you the setting of the context. Everybody's got their Bibles, amen. All good Christians bring the Bibles to church, right? Acts chapter 16 and verse 19. Follow along with me as I read the Word of God to you. The Bible says, "And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace, unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to bring your attention back to verse 25 and just one little statement there. The Bible says, "And at midnight." With God's help, I'll bring a message to you tonight entitled "The Midnight Hour." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you, Father, for its truth, God. Lord, we thank you that we have the Bible. Lord, we can read it and obey it and live our lives by it. We ask, God, that you meet with us tonight. Lord, we need to hear from heaven. Lord, we claim your blessings and your promises upon the preaching of your Word. I pray, dear God, you speak to me and speak through me, Lord God. Open up every heart to receive what you have for those individuals. Lord, bless tonight. Let us hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want you to think with me about this chapter. Now, you've got the Apostle Paul. He's right in the middle of a massive ministry. You remember he set out in his first missionary journey with Barnabas. Over in Acts chapter 13, God said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work that I've called them to." By the time you get over here to Acts chapter 16, Barnabas and Paul have kind of split asunder over that little dispute with John Mark. Well, Paul is traveling here with Silas in Acts chapter 16. He gets the Macedonian call and he goes over into that area of Macedonia. Particularly, he goes to the chief city of Philippi. Now, Philippi is the biggest city in that whole region of Macedonia. You also have the Thessalonians from that area. You also have the Bereans that were from that area. Paul begins that ministry, and by the way, you'll notice that he went to a core city. We're going to go to Chile, and we're going to go to the core city. We're going to Santiago. There's 6.5 million people in the city of Santiago. And Paul goes here to Philippi, and he begins to undergo his street preaching, as it was his custom to go to the marketplace and he street preach, and no doubt passing out some tracts. I hope you got some in your pocket. Passing out tracts, as it were. And he leads his very first convert to the Lord there in Philippi. And there was that young lady, Lydia, down by the riverbank that sold purple. The Bible says that he baptized her and her entire household. And Paul, he must have been on top of the world at that point. And he's continuing to preach throughout the city of Philippi there. And then this little demon-possessed girl begins to follow him around town and no doubt began to really stir up some problems for Paul and for Silas there. And I don't know how many days this went on, but it went on for some time. And finally, Paul got tired of that foolishness and he turned around and rebuked the devil out of that girl. And the Bible says here in verse 17, the same followed Paul and us, meaning Silas and those that were with them, cried saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which showing us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he," the Spirit, he said the Spirit was a masculine spirit. It was a he. He came out of her. And I tell you what, when that happened, you know the story. Her owners got so upset. Bless God, they weren't going to make no more money off of her soothsaying. Boy, they got so fired up about that. Anytime you begin to step on somebody's toes and get into their pocketbook, they have a tendency to get upset about that, do they not? Yeah. Start preaching on tithing and somebody's going to get upset about that, start talking about money. But the Bible says that they took Paul and Silas and they drug them to the rulers there in Philippi, to the magistrates. And they began to say, "These men, being Jews, they do seemingly trouble our city and teach customs that are not lawful for us to observe, being Romans." Now, Philippi was a Roman city. It was full of a bunch of Gentile Roman dogs there. It sure was. And Paul and Silas, of course, preaching to these folks the resurrected Christ. If you look there in the context, without a fair trial, probably without even a decent hearing, that they commanded them to be beat. They began to rip their clothes off of their body and drag them, as it were, to the whipping post. Now, this is the preachers. This is the guy that's been showing them the way to God. This is the guy that's been passing out tracts in the street corner. This is the guy that's been doing all the street preaching. It says that they ripped their clothes off of them. That shamed them. That humiliated them. And whipped them there at the whipping post. Now, in my mind's eye, you know that it was customary that day to put 39 lashes on a man, save one. 40 would have killed a man, so they decided to only give him 39. Now, I don't know how many lashes they gave Paul and Silas, but no doubt it was a bunch. And it hurt. And no doubt as they beat them on their back and the back of their legs with those whips, with these big, strong men, no doubt their backs and their legs began to bleed that blood. It was very painful for them. It was a difficult, difficult time for Paul and for Silas. It was not a pretty picture. Can you imagine two grown men tied up in the public square of Haines City with their clothes ripped off of them, the shame they must be going through, and then whipped some 39 times across the back? It was a difficult hour for Paul and Silas. They must have thought God called us in Acts chapter 13 and surely nothing bad was going to happen. God called us to the ministry. How could this be in God's will? And that's what Paul and Silas, they found themselves in that difficult, difficult situation. I want you to notice here that the Bible says that after they whipped them at the whipping post, that they charged the jailer. They throwed them off in jail. And then they charged the jailer to keep them safely. Now, the jailer probably knew, had these hardened criminals got away, could have cost him his life. Maybe the life of his family. And so when he received such a charge, the Bible says that they thrust Paul and Silas into the inner prison. Now, in my mind's eye, the inner prison, that must have been like the dungeon. I mean, that must have been darker and meaner and wetter and more disgusting. Hey, the inner prison, as if it couldn't have got any worse. I've been humiliated. I've had the blood beat out of my back. And then I get my feet fast in the stocks and they thrust me into the inner prison. I'm telling you, this was a difficult hour for the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul had many difficult hours, but no doubt this was a difficult time. And Silas was probably thinking, I don't know what in the world inspired me to go traveling around with the Apostle Paul. This was a difficult time for them. I don't know how it could have gotten any worse. Except the next morning, they drug them out in the corner square there, as it were, and lopped their heads off. I don't see how it could have got any worse. But I want you to notice that the Bible says that in the middle of this difficult time that they began to pray and they began to sing praises unto God. Now notice in verse 25 it says, and at midnight. Now the midnight hour, that 12 o'clock midnight hour, that would be the middle of the night. Right? I mean, halfway in, halfway out, that would be the middle ways. That would no doubt be the darkest hour of the night. You following me? The midnight hour. That's the darkest part of the night. Sure it is, right in the middle. And no doubt this was a dark, dark hour for Paul and for Silas. Probably one of the darkest hours that they had been through. And here they are in the inner prison. The Bible says that in the middle of that dark hour of their life that they prayed. Imagine that. They prayed and they sang praises unto God. Let me ask you something. Have you ever had any midnight hours? Hey, you may have never had the blood beat out of your back in the whipping post and thrown off into the inner prison, but have you ever had anything that would qualify as a midnight hour? Have you ever had any difficulty, any trial come up against you? Anybody this year had the boss man come and say there's just not enough work to keep you busy? Yep. Bless God, that's midnight hour. Hey, has the wife come out and said there's just not enough in the paycheck to cover the bills? Friend, that's a midnight hour. Hey, has anybody ever thought that my kids and my grandkids, they just not turning out the way I thought they should? Friend, that's a midnight hour. Hey, has anybody ever heard the doctor say, tests don't look so good?
Right.
Friend, that's a midnight hour. Hey, now everybody's midnight hour is going to be different from the guy sitting beside you. But I'm telling you that in this old life that you and I go through, there's some struggle and there's some difficulty and there's some trial that's going to come upon you. And it's going to feel, you're going to feel the same way that Paul and Silas did here in that inner prison with the blood pouring out of their back. And I'm going to tell you, that prison, that wasn't a pretty camp. They probably didn't have a bed in there. Probably laying right on that old stone floor. The old blood began to mat and dry on their back. Maybe that whip had caught them a couple times across the back of the head, and the blood began to mat up in the head, as it were. Hey, it was dark in there, and it was lonely in there, and there probably was rats about that big in there. Friend, it was a difficult time for Paul and Silas. It's not a pretty picture. And I tell you what, some of the trials and difficulties that you and I have to go through in our journey, in our pilgrimage called this life, hey, it's not pretty all the time. You can testify to that. Hey, there's some difficult times, and there's some struggles. There's some midnight hours, and sometimes I don't know how I'm going to get through some of these times. Well, I tell you how you're going to get through some of these times. You got to pray, and you got to draw nigh to God. And you got to find joy in the middle of that circumstance. You say, the world's turned against me. And those that I thought were my friends, turned out they're not my friends. Hey, you pray. And you draw nigh to God. And you don't quit on God. You don't quit on God. Once you know the truth that Jesus Christ has conquered death, you've been born again by the Spirit of God. Hey, there's no turning back. This thing is real. Amen? This thing is real. Hey, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun.
Yes.
And bless God, in this life, there's going to be trials.
Right.
There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be some midnight hours in the life of this church. Yes. Hey, that's a midnight hour right there, friend. Yes. Preacher said you got a week left.
Yeah.
It's time to pray.
Amen.
It's time to draw nigh to God. It's time to sing praises unto Him. Yes, sir, it is. That's what happened to Paul and Silas here. They began to draw nigh to God. Let me tell you what I think about Paul and Silas. I think they were sincere. You hear what I'm saying to you? I think they were just sincere. Let me tell you, Christian, if you're going to be anything in your life, bless God, you just be sincere. Hey, you that name the name of Christ, the Bible says, depart from iniquity. Hey, just be sincere. I think that Paul and Silas were sincere Christians. Don't mean you got to be perfect. I'm not perfect. Just ask my wife. But bless God, be sincere. Amen? Just be serious. Let me tell you what Paul said to this church at Philippi. Now, I believe here in Acts chapter 16 is the foundation of this church that he started with Lydia, probably with that demon-possessed girl, with the jailer in his household, the family of Stephanus, Corinthians tells us. But I believe that's the beginning of this church. Let me tell you what Paul said to this church years later in a letter that he wrote to them. Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to read one verse to you for the sake of time. Notice what Paul says. He says this very early in this letter, and it's a good letter. Philippians is a great book. He says this very, very early in this letter. This is how important it is. This is how it's on his heart. Notice what he says here in verse 10. He says, that you may approve things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. He says to the Corinthian, or to the Philippian church there, he says that you be sincere. That's very important for Paul. Just be sincere. It doesn't matter if you win every race. What matters is if you've given everything into the race, that you just be sincere. In Chile, they speak Spanish. They speak a very pure Spanish, Castellano, but they speak a very pure Spanish. And many times in the Spanish language, you can convey a meaning even deeper many times than you can in the English language. I'll give you an example of that. I'll take that word sincere, and I'll bring it over into the Spanish language. It's sincera. Sincera. It's two words put together. S-I-N, the I makes an E sound, which is seen, and you got sera. Well, that word seen means without. Seen, without, or not having. Sera means wax. A literal translation of that would mean without wax. Sincera means without wax. If you were living in the first century, and we was to go down to the marketplace and maybe do a little pottery shopping, looking for some vases or some drinking cups or what have you, you would have to be very, very clever. Because what would happen is that potter vessels that they would be selling out there in the market square would get damaged. It would get cracks in it, as it were. And those real slippery type shopkeepers there, they take that vessel, they take that pottery that was damaged, and they put wax in it. Oh yeah, they melt wax down, put that, and paint right over it. And like it was never even there. And then they'd sell that pottery right out there with the good stuff, even though it had a flaw in it, but they'd sell it right out there with the good stuff like there was nothing wrong with it. Right. So you go to the marketplace, you're looking for pottery that was sincera, without wax. You know how you would judge that pottery? You'd take that vessel, as it were, and you'd hold it up, and you would judge it in the light of the sun. The S-U-N. The sun's rays would come right through that paint, right through that wax, and expose the flaw and expose the crack in that pottery. The Bible teaches us that we are but clay vessels in the very hands of the potter. And you and I can get some cracks in us if we're not very, very careful in this life. And we are judged in the light of the sun, the S-O-N, and His light shines right through, exposes the cracks, exposes the wax in our life. We need to be sincere. We need to be without wax. That's what Paul is saying to the church there at Philippi, that you just be sincere. And I want you to notice a little bit more here. I'll give you another thought here. In verse 25, at the very bottom of that verse, the last four words, the prisoners heard them. And the prisoners heard them. Did you know that God allowed Paul and Silas to be a testimony in the middle of their struggle, in the middle of their difficulty, in the middle of their midnight hour? God allowed them to be a testimony. Hey, you that are going through stuff tonight, you that have gone through things this very year, and I know some of you, I know some of you have, I know it's been difficult, I know it's difficult right now. Listen to me, somebody's watching you. Hey, somebody's looking at you in your midnight hour. Hey, somebody's looking at you in your difficulty and in your struggle. And what an opportunity to be a testimony to them. Oh, yeah. What an opportunity to be a testimony to them. Very, very careful. We've got to draw nigh to God. We've got to get along with God. David said over in the Psalms, he said, "All thou that hearest prayer." Hey, God hears prayer. God hears the prayer of God's people. Yes. Let me tell you what kind of people that don't pray, the kind of people that think that God don't hear. The Bible says that God hears the prayers of His people, of the righteous, of the redeemed. Who are they? They are the ones that had their sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Hey, you are the redeemed. You are the children of God. you have access to the Father. Amen. Through prayer, we need to get back to this thing of prayer. And I'm as guilty as anybody else. My prayer life needs some work. It's sad to say that many times it takes these midnight hours to draw us on our face back to God. Notice as you read the New Testament, how many times they fasted and they prayed and God moved and God worked. And when they wanted God to do something, they fasted and they prayed. Hey, some of us need to fast.
Really?
Amen? When's the last time you fasted? That's a forgotten. Hey, I'm guilty. That's a forgotten art. We got to get a hold of God. You want God to move. You know, it's been said that you're either going through a difficulty, coming out of a difficulty, or about to enter in to a difficulty. That's not far from the truth. Life is a struggle. I mean, from little children all the way up, life is a struggle. We've got to teach the next generation that God hears and answers prayer. We got to pray. We need more prayer in the churches. We need more prayer in the homes. The only way to teach the next generation is for them to see you doing it. It's for them to see you drawing nigh to God. I respect the fire out of somebody that has devotions with their family, with their children, and prays with them. And I just about suspect a lot of people need a lot of work in that area. That is what's going to build the foundation for that youth. That's what's going to do it. Paul and Silas were having a difficult hour. They were in the middle of their midnight hour, where it just couldn't have got any worse. The Bible says that they prayed. They prayed and they sang praises. They were joyful. In the middle of their midnight hour, they were joyful. What causes a person to sing? Joy. Joy. You know why the other religions of the world don't sing? They got no joy. Hindus, they don't sing. Hey, Buddhists, they don't sing. Islam, they don't sing. They moan a little bit. They got no joy. It's Christians that sing. I was preaching in the church recently. Preacher was telling me that they had invited some Hindu families to come, and the one girl wanted to come, and she went home, and she told her aunt and her mother was trying to get them to come, and they said, "Oh, that's the people that sing." Yeah, that's us. We sing because of joy. Paul was laying on the concrete stone floor with the blood pouring out his back in the inner prison. And he didn't know if they were going to cut his head off the next day or not. And bless God, he found joy in that. You hear me? He found joy in that. And he drawed nigh to God. And God helped him through that difficulty. And God helped him through that struggle. And did God use him again? You better believe it. We got to know how to get a hold of God. Now, I try to get my name on as many prayer lists as possible. I want people praying for me. Bless God, comes a time when you just got to pray for yourself. You hear me? It comes a time when you just got to be able to pray for yourself. That's what Paul and Silas done. In the middle of their difficulty, in the middle of their midnight hour, bless God, they drawed nigh to God. They knew how to get a hold of heaven. I want to be like that. I don't know how to get a hold of heaven. You know, God's got all of the resources to accomplish anything you want to do for Him.
Right.
He does. Owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Yeah. Right? One preacher said He even owns the hills. Yeah. God has all of the resources. You know why we so many times have limited access? You know, we don't know how to get a hold of God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let me, I love studying the Bible. I learned more under Pastor Carter. You can't imagine. Let me brag on him for a minute. I've heard a lot of preachers preach. A lot of big name preachers. Got big churches. They don't even touch the garment to the knowledge of the Bible that my preacher has. Maybe I'm just partial to him, but I'm telling you, that's a lot of hours of study. That's what it takes. That's commitment. When I look out over this congregation and I see families that were here when I got here, and I heard tell that they were here 20 years before I got here, I like that. That's commitment. That's faithfulness. And God honors that. But even though you're a faithful Christian, you're going to have a midnight hour. And who knows, but in 2011, it might be your time, or your time, or your time, or your time. You better know how to get a hold of God. Because that's the only thing that's going to bring you through, is prayer and praise. I like that about Paul and Silas. In the middle of their difficulty, boy, they got a hold of God. 2011's coming up. We don't know what's up around the next corner for our lives. Might be loss of job. Might be cancer. Might be foreclosure. It might be death. You can believe one thing. The midnight hour is coming to your life. You say, I experienced too many midnight hours. Just keep living. Just keep living. They're coming. When it's as dark as it can get, and you don't know how it's going to get any better, that qualifies as a midnight hour. The only thing you can do is pray. Draw nigh to God. In the middle of that difficulty, find joy. Because if God has allowed it, watch this, if God has allowed it to come upon your life, it's for a purpose. I believe with all my heart that the man of God in the center of God's will is immortal until God is finished with him. If God has allowed it, it's for a purpose. You find joy in it, but to make it a little bit easier, you better draw nigh to God in prayer. The midnight hour, it's coming to some of you in 2011. And let me tell you what's going to determine it. What is the determining factor in the midnight hour is your faith. Your faith. That's the determining factor. What you do in the midnight hour, it determines your faith. Draw nigh to God in prayer. I find that I have to rely on Him a little bit every day. I do. And I find that as I grow closer to my Lord, I get a little bit older. I'm starting to get old, y'all. Y'all see this gray? I find that as I get a little bit older, I get more of a sweet peace in my heart. That Jesus is coming back just as He said. That He's going to fulfill every word in this book. I don't know that He might come back before we make it to Chile in 75 days. That'd be all right. But can I be a little bit selfish? I really want to do something for Him down there. You don't know He's coming back this year. Now, He might. You don't know that. He might tarry 25 more years. 25 more years. Pastor Carter's locked me done in Chile in 25 years. There's a lot that can be done in 25 years. And God's going to need some men and some women that even when the midnight hours come, they don't drop their faith. They don't ruin their testimony. They draw nigh to God, and He'll bring you through. He sure will. So when the midnight hour comes in 2011, what's going to determine your faith is what you do. What you do. Look what Paul did. He prayed. And he drawed nigh to God. Let's do that in this new year. Amen? Let's do that every day. Let's pray.